What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, Sunday, February 17th edition, with Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. It's Locked On the Mock, episode 2. Gino, you excited? Let's get this rolling.
Yeah, it's cool. We can actually do this together. I went through it by myself, and hopefully we can get the Fab Four, me, you, Lars, and Tyler, that's together right, soon, and do a mega mock and make it even better.
So what we're going to be doing on today's show is we're going to run through a mock draft simulator. We're going to play Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas, so we're going to kind of work together here and go through a 7-round mock draft and take what's best for the Eagles. They have a first-round pick, 2 second-round picks. They don't have a third right now, but they could with a potential Nick Foles trade. We'll see what happens with that. Maybe Jacksonville. I keep throwing that, really hoping that ends up happening. Just seems like it could work out for both sides really well, all three sides with Foles involved as well. They have a couple fourth-round picks, a lot of ammo in this class, and that's why, you know, people say that the Eagles' window is closing, and I don't see that after seeing all the picks we have this year, potentially next year as well, and the track record of Howie and Joe together, like, they've drafted really well the past couple of years.
Yeah, especially now that they're building this team up of high-end assets that are going to command big contracts one way or another. They're going to get picks, whether it be comp picks. Say Nick Foles doesn't get traded, he's going to get a $20 to $25 million deal. That's going to land you a third-round comp pick next year. So you see that more and more. It's going to continue to happen as this team grows, as they have to pay more players. They're just going to continue to get more comp picks, and that's how it works, and that's how the good teams operate. You look at New England, every single year they're getting comp picks, and it kind of works backwards for how the system was created.
Well, the good teams take it into account when talking about how they utilize personnel and the decisions they make. So that's why you are more comfortable making a trade for Golden Tate, giving up a third-round pick, because if he leaves in free agency this year, which he likely will, you'll get a comp pick in 2020. Mm-hmm. So it definitely helps out. So the first two segments, we're going to get into this 7-round mock draft. And then the third segment, we're going to come back around on Around the Mock, and we're going to kind of look at what some of the experts have been putting the Eagles at as well. A lot of them at defensive line, some running backs, defensive line, of course,
some
as I already said,
for
offensive
some
line.
Weird reason.
Corner keeps getting thrown in there. Don't understand it. I'm glad I'm not the only one that sees that. The Eagles have 5 young corners that are promising.
They're all on rookie deals.
Right.
Still,
they're like, we're not
what
paying
are you gonna do?
Those
Unless
5.
Unless you trade one of them, and yeah, I could see that.
But
happening.
Even at that point, you still have a lot of depth.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Cravan LeBlanc might be your 5th corner this year, and he was the best corner in the first 2 rounds of the playoffs this year. So, yeah, I don't know about corner, but let's get into it. So, we are using FanSpeak's mock draft simulator, and we are going to be drafting for the Eagles the first 2 rounds to start the segment, and then the second segment we'll come back around and draft rounds 4 through 7. The Eagles picking at 25 overall. Then they have 2 second-round picks. So me and Gino are going to make 3 picks to start. Gino, what are you hoping for in the first round? So we're going through the simulator right now of the first round, getting to pick 25. Who's the guy that you like? The guy you're going to you always hear it in the draft room that scouts are pounding the table for their guy, and your guy is
Nasir Adderley.
Yeah,
I've made that known for a long time. I was really high on Jeffrey Simmons, don't get me wrong. That ACL injury kills. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be shocked if they take him in that second round, but right now, if Nasir lands at 25, which right now, what are we looking at? Is he still there?
So our pick is we are up, and Adderley is on the board. Here are some of the best players available. Josh Jacobs, which it would be my guy. Like, if I had to pound the table for someone, it would be Josh Jacobs. Hollywood Brown is still there, too. And I'm just saying, I know receiver isn't a dire need with Aguilar and Jeffrey already there. And look, they can add a burner in free agency with a John Brown, maybe a DeSean Jackson, those type of guys. But, I mean, Hollywood Brown's there. They're Christian Wilkins at Clemson. This is interesting, Gino. You're going to go with Adderley, and I agree with you here because
you think so,
yeah,
over Jacobs?
I think we can. Yeah, it would be so tough
but see,
to
now,
let Jacobs
now,
go.
Let's take a look at the safety class. You have a lot of guys. This is a big depth at safety class.
Right.
You have guys like Juan Thornhill. You have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You have John Ledyard of the Draft Network, who we're going to be reading off all the reports in this episode. We'll give them all credit. He went through and broke down all the safeties by how they are. If they're box safety, if they're too high, if they're single high. And there is a bunch of single high safeties that are still going to be available in these later rounds, which, I mean, if Josh Jacobs is there, I really think he's the belle of the ball for the offensive talent class. And I think there's depth at one offensive tackle, which they need, defensive line, and safety. So I think if you go running back, a guy that is going to be a home run hitter.
I was going to say, man, Jacobs is just an all-around.
I think
people
they would
do people have been saying, like, the Eagles should just wait and add to the committee. But regardless of if they use a committee or not, they need a weapon back there. They need talent. They had a committee last year, and the committee was terrible. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, sure, did they use a committee of LeGarrette Blount, Ajayi, and Clement? Yeah, but they actually had talent in that committee. And I just want a clear RB1 that's going to be able to be relied upon for the majority of the snaps. Can you still use Corey Clement? Sure. Do you want to take a guy like a I interviewed Darwin Thompson on Friday, a guy like Darwin Thompson in the later rounds to be that third guy or trade for a Duke Johnson? Sure. But a player like Josh Jacobs, the ceiling for the Eagles offense with that kind of caliber player in the backfield, you're convincing me again here to go back on Jacobs.
Take a pick at defensive line too. Let's see who fell to us.
Jeffrey Simmons is there, but with the ACL injury, I feel like a first round pick still would be high.
I think there's still guys like Draymond Jones you could definitely get in the second round.
I'm not a Dexter Lawrence guy.
No, Lawrence. See, the thing, we'll get into that when we talk about this. Yeah. A lot of teams are mocking defensive tackles to the Eagles.
Yeah,
but Dexter Lawrence is just a run stuffer. The Eagles, as you've seen from Tim Jernigan, as you've seen from Michael Bennett when they throw him inside, they want those guys to get after the quarterback.
I was going to say, I don't want a star Lotulelei type.
How did they win the Super Bowl last year?
Yep,
they put Brandon Graham in the middle of the defensive line, and they had him rush from the interior. They need guys.
They did the same thing with Michael Bennett last
exactly.
year.
Exactly. So I don't think that Lawrence is going to be a guy they take there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't want a star Lotulelei kind of player.
No, or Danny Shelton.
Or Danny Shelton, or V2V, right? Yeah. Those Washington guys, man, that just absorb blocks.
They're nose tackles.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't, especially in a 4-3, I'm just not for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think at the position they're sitting right now,
it'd be between Jacobs and Adderley.
There's so much depth everywhere else. Jacobs, for sure, is the
These
ball
are our
of the
guys,
ball.
Too.
Go with Josh Jacobs.
All right, let's take Josh Jacobs.
All right, Josh Jacobs.
So we're going with Josh
Jacobs,
the Alabama running back. Funny enough, too, he doesn't have a lot of tread on the tires, considering Damian Harris played, was really the feature back in Alabama. I mean, Jacobs, they did a lot of two-back sets where Jacobs was playing in a number of different roles for them. So, but that's a good thing, though. Not a lot of tread on the tires.
You definitely want that.
So you can get a long career out of Josh Jacobs.
And the fact that a lot of people are seeing the talent that he does have in the under 300 snaps that he played.
And, dude, blocks. Like, he runs angry. He hits angry. He can
hell
catch.
Hell of a pass protector.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's
protect
got some
Carson
boom
Wentz
to him,
at all costs.
Yeah, he's an overall. I can't even compare him to a recent prospect. He's so unique. Don't you agree? Like, is there a guy that just...
He's
not like Saquon.
He's compared to an Alvin Kamara, but I think Kamara absolutely provides you with more juice than a Jacobs would. But he still has that home run hitting ability.
But Jacobs provides more size. Like, that's a thing.
He's vertical. He can get vertical when he's out of the backfield.
He's kind of a mix of Kamara and like Derrick Henry. You know what I'm saying? Where
he's got the legs,
man. That. He kind of has both sides of his game.
So we're sitting in round two right now.
So we're at pick two. We're at 21st overall in the second round. Remember, this is one of two second-round picks for the Eagles as they moved down with that trade with Baltimore last year as the Ravens came in to pick 32, took Lamar Jackson. The Eagles gained a second-round pick in the 2019 draft. So we took a running back with our first pick. So we got Josh Jacobs. Love that pick. We're going here now. I feel like defensive line the option.
You
here.
Got a guy like Amani Hughes still on the board.
Really like Amani Hughes from Texas.
You could plug him both inside and outside.
Which we've seen with Bennett and Graham, the Eagles love to do.
He really doesn't have that home position as many guys would have. You going in the interior, you got guys like Jared Willis. I watched a little bit of his tape. He definitely needs to bulk up. He's only sitting around 280 pounds. He gets blown off some blocks.
Our guy Kalen Saunders is sitting there later in the draft, too, though.
Yeah,
it's still on the board.
And this is another position that there's so much depth. And
right.
Let's move over to offensive tackle because I think this class, there's a lot of potential to replace your Jason Peters. So right now you're sitting with a guy like Titus Howard who had a good showing at the couple of the All-Star games that he
played.
I'm
not a fan
in.
Of Dave Edwards from Wisconsin.
No, I think he's a very overrated.
He's a Big Ten offensive lineman, and that's going to carry a lot of weight.
Wisconsin always has their offensive tackles and offensive guards talked up, even though they might not be the best.
Just
in the
Big
world.
Ten in general, really, right?
Yeah. I think Titus Howard has been getting talked about a lot. I think if he's still there, I think he's a guy you would love because he's a guy that he has those skills. He's going to be picked in the second round by somebody because there's a lot of offensive tackles that are going to go in the first round, and he's going to be that guy.
Does Jordan Mailata impact your decision at all if you're Howie Roseman?
So.
Or
I don't think you can have too many good offensive tackles.
And one of them could always play. I mean, they're going to need guard help too down the road as well.
Mailata can scoot, and I feel like he could play in the guard and, as well.
Get up to that second level. He is extremely athletic. And absolutely. This doesn't also deter you from bringing back Jason Peters. Mm-hmm. I would love the idea of Peters coming back for one more year and helping out a Titus Howard and a Jordan Mailata. You know, you saw Peters' leadership even when he tore his Achilles in Washington a couple years ago. What was he doing? Is he's getting carted off? He's coaching Big Via. Mm-hmm. So this would allow you to not have to rely on Halipuli Vadi Vaitai as much next year.
I agree.
Which is big, right? Him not being your swing left tackle. I'll give him credit for that playoff run a couple years ago, but Vaitai consistently playing as Peters comes in and out of the lineup, that's not ideal.
Yeah,
I think Titus Howard the guy here?
I think he could be the potential replacement there, and I think there's a lot of depth still at those other positions, and I think
between him and Amenihu, if you ask me.
You have another pick and a couple picks. We could always go Amenihu later, but I think you grab Howard. Don't let anybody trade up ahead of you. Grab him here.
Let's do it. And look, the Eagles have not really invested in offensive line high in the draft.
And look, we're on the clock again. Easy enough, right? So
let's go to edge. Amenihu's still there.
If this scenario
played out, I would be drooling.
Let's take a look at the interior just to double check, make sure we cross
the Gerald Willis still, Zach Allen. Anthony Nelson from Iowa is kind of he played more defensive end at Iowa, but he's 6'7". He's a bigger guy. Honestly, I think he fits more at defensive tackle. He just, outside of his size, nothing really comes off the charts and pops on the film for me when I watch him. So yeah, I'm not really.
I think Amenihu here, just because of his versatility, over a guy like Gerald Willis, who still has some things that he could polish up. I think Amenihu's a safe pick. I think right there, he's a safe pick. I think you could play him and defensive tackle, move him inside and out on those NASCAR packages. I would be more than okay with a Jacobs Howard and Amenihu.
Right, and hopefully in this scenario, you bring back Tim Jernigan on a restructured contract. Obviously, they're not bringing him back on the deal that he's on now. But in this type of scenario, with a running back, an offensive tackle, and then an edge rusher, although Amenihu can play defensive tackle, so can Michael Bennett. Who knows about the future of Brandon Graham, but you have all that optionality there. If you bring back Jernigan too, your depth is still lacking there, but Look, again, the Eagles love to invest in edge rushers. I think it's part of why they were okay moving out of last year's first round, because Howie Roseman even labeled this class a historic class. And Amenihu in the second round, I feel like last year he probably would have been a first-round prospect.
Yeah, he would have been up there. I liked what I saw out of him at both the Senior Bowl and what I saw on his tape. He can play, like I said, everywhere. And this Eagles team, there's reports that came out that they want to address the edge position in free agency. So why not wait a little bit on the edge rusher like we did, bring in a guy like Amenihu, and I think that's a really good pick with that second round pick right there.
We're going with Charles Amenihu, edge rusher from Texas. So our first three picks, in the first two rounds, running back Josh Jacobs out of Alabama in the first round, then Titus Howard, an offensive tackle in the second round, and then we come back with Charles Amenihu, an edge rusher.
I'd be happy with those.
I would be very happy with that class. Let's take a quick break here on Locked On The Mock, part of the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, rounds 4 through 7. Don't go anywhere. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Eagles podcast. This is Locked On The Mock, episode 2. Louis DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri to recap our first three picks in the first two rounds of this mock draft. We got Josh Jacobs, the running back out of Alabama, pick 25. I would be stoked. Your guy's kind of Nazir Adderley. The guy that I'm really man-crushing on right now in this first round is Josh Jacobs. I would be so excited with this pick. Titus Howard, the Alabama State offensive tackle, with our 21st pick in the second round. And then at pick 25, only four picks later. That's what's cool, you know, about these second-round picks is they're right next to each other. So they're going to get two high-level players.
And the potential to trade back, too. Like if you see 10 guys that you're willing to take at that spot, trade back three or four spots and grab another pick.
Maybe you can get back in the third round.
Yeah.
If someone really likes a second-round player.
Do like a second move back, five, six spots?
Yeah.
You do a pick swap, give up a fourth to get a third.
Yeah, exactly.
Type deal, I could definitely see that happening.
So, and then we came back with our final second round pick, and we took Charles Amenihu, the edge rusher out of Texas. Would love to add him with Derek Barnett as that future at defensive end. And then with Michael Bennett already there, maybe you do still add a big name free agent. Maybe you bring back Brandon Graham. Maybe you bring back Chris Long or bring back Vinny Curry to be that fourth veteran in the rotation. Because I love the idea of just having, again, four guys you can just continue to rotate through. And I would be really excited about Amenihu joining that rotation. So now with our fourth round pick, we have two in this round. We've got our offensive line potential of the future at tackle. We've got our edge rusher. We've got our running back. Some key positions there already filled for the Eagles. defensive tackle maybe. Kalen Saunders is still on the board. But safety, we passed on Azeer Adderley, and we took Josh Jacobs. Is there any safeties you like on the board right here at pick 25 in the fourth round?
Yeah, so we're sitting here. You got Jaquan Johnson or Darnell Savage are still the top two right here. The thing about Savage, I'm just reading through what Kyle Krabs wrote up on him on the Draft Network. He said he struggles to cover in space, which is Eagles team. They play a lot of those zones, and that's not something
you need your safety getting from sideline to sideline.
100%, yeah. And so you look at another guy. You look at a guy like Jaquan Johnson out of Miami. I'm going to read what Joe Marino wrote on him. He's another Draft Network guy. He said, skill set is incomplete in coverage, particularly for a guy that has so much experience. Often slow slash late to reaching landmarks and zone coverage. Tight hips and modest route anticipation skills limit him in man coverage. Most effective in split zones and small areas of responsibility.
So these
are
understandable.
Yeah, yeah. This team plays a lot of big nickel, big dime, and that's the thing you're going to get into. I've mentioned it multiple times, is that these rounds 4 through 7, you're going to get these guys that have 3-4 good skill sets, but they don't have 5, 6, 7, and 8
right,
fulfilled.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking at a guy like Jaquan Johnson, who you could bring in those big nickel, big dimes, bring him in and play those quarter coverages, those smaller
zone sets.
They had
three safeties play like over 60% of the time last year on defense. They run three safeties more than they run two linebackers.
Absolutely, and he's a guy that you can teach him how to cover in space. Like, you're going to have guys like Malcolm Jenkins and guys like Rodney McLeod that can teach him to play that position better.
And he can compete with a Trey Sullivan, who had a nice end of the year last year.
He's a big hitter, too, and they love guys that can tackle on the back end, especially if they can't get get penetration up front. You have to have reliable tacklers. So I think a guy like Jaquan Johnson there is a surefire pick.
They
got to
get younger at the position.
Absolutely.
The only other guy I would really consider at this point is Kalen Saunders. But because we took a Menihu, who is versatile at edge rusher and defensive tackle, and me banking in this scenario of bringing back Tim Jernigan, I say we go with Jaquan Johnson.
I think so. I think he fits the scheme pretty well.
All right, so we get a safety there. We could have went Adderley in the first round.
Could have.
But I really like the pairing here of Josh Jacobs in
it's
the backfield.
It's
going to
be terrible
get Johnson
when
later on.
Jacobs and Adderley are both on the board at 25. And
me and you are just going to be going.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good competition. We're getting there. So what, two and some odd months?
Yep. We're back on the clock here in the fourth round. We get two because of our compensatory
picks.
Love comp picks. Just more opportunities to
really
hit on late round picks. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
absolutely.
We got a guy like Jalen Mills in the seventh round a couple years ago. Jordan Mailata as a seventh round pick might be something. So the more opportunities for the Eagles to land on young talent, the better, considering the cheap contracts of a fourth round
Definitely.
Pick anyway. So we have a running back, an offensive tackle, an edge rusher, and a safety.
So now you're just playing with fool's gold.
You're just kind of taking best player available.
I think so too. Yeah, I think you even take a look
receiver?
At some of these wide receivers here. Guys like Kassim Johnson out of Fresno
Terry
State.
Terry McLaurin out of Ohio
Terry
State.
McLaurin
had a
great showing. They wanted to get him into that to the East-West Shrine game, and they got him. The NFL scouts wanted him to see there, and he put up a very good showing.
Right.
And I think he's a guy that you could definitely take. But I'm looking at the board right now. You have guys.
I see some big names at the bottom.
Penny Hart, Emmanuel Hall,
Terry Godwin.
Andy Isabellas are going to be there.
Terry Godwin out of Georgia. Great East-West Shrine game performance out of Godwin.
So this is one of those things you can wait on this position still, and I think here. It's going to be a best player available mentality.
And right now, the best players, we all got running backs, but the Eagles have already taken Jacobs at that point. We don't need another running back. Linebacker is something that the Eagles could be in need of next year with Jordan Hicks. He is going to test the market. And despite Hicks's injury history, look, his first couple years, he was on a historic pace as a linebacker with his turnover rate and just the young promising player he was. I still think that'll command a decent contract in a free agency pool. Let's be honest, free agents always get overpaid. Teams have a lot of money, a lot of cap space to spend, and a guy like Jordan Hicks, he's still young. At the same time, the Eagles have, the way they've used linebackers has really changed over the past couple
years,
and Bradham kind of took over as that main linebacker, every down linebacker, and Hicks was kind of a guy that only played on first and second down. You got a guy like Kamu Grugier-Hill already here that I thought had a strong 2018 season in limited snaps. Maybe take a guy here to replace Hicks, or Kamu is that third guy. A Chase Hansen out of Utah is available. Cameron Smith out of USC. Any guys here you like at the linebacking core?
I like the free agent linebacking core a lot better than I like this class. And they keep saying that this is a poor class. It's blatant. If you look at the tape, there's not, out of the top three guys, past that, there's not much there. I think you can look in free agency, a guy like Denzel Perryman, who's coming off an injury-riddled season at the inside linebacker position, LJ Fort out of Pittsburgh. There's a lot of low-end options that can replace that position because, look, Bradham's your guy. He's calling plays still. He's the guy you want there. You just need a guy that's a surefire tackler at that linebacker
position. And a guy that can play, what, 30?
25 to 30 snaps. Yeah. It's not a position really of need. But
it's crazy how different linebacker is now. Like, I remember back in from 2000 and really since when Trotter was gone, remember, like, linebacker was always the biggest need for the Eagles. Yep. And that's why they brought in guys like Michael Kendricks and D'Amico Ryans. But we were going through the likes of Jamar Chaney, Keenan Clayton, Brian Roll. But now the Eagles could be losing a really good player in Jordan Hicks. And I'm not concerned about it at all, just because really safeties have become the linebackers, whereas you need linebackers to be great in coverage to the point where you have maybe one traditional linebacker in the field. And outside of that, like, Malcolm Jenkins played more linebacker, I feel like, down the stretch than Jordan Hicks did.
100%. So what do you? I think you can avoid the linebacker here.
Do we want to go receiver?
I think there's enough depth to wait on that. I think defensive line, maybe edge, if one of these guys
falls.
Daylon
Mack out of Texas A&M, I really like
Daylon Mack. I think it's a best player available mentality here. Even a guy like LJ Collier out of TCU, there's plenty of options here. But Daylon Mack, he's a guy that can fill that defensive tackle position if you want to keep Amenihue on the outside.
Need to add depth at defensive tackle.
I definitely think a Daylon Mack they would seriously consider it, this pick in the fourth round.
So we're going to go with Daylon Mack, defensive tackle out of Texas A&M, with that fourth round pick. So in the fourth round, hey, I like it. We add a safety, we add a defensive tackle. And again, Mack's not going to have to come in and play right away. You have options with Bennett and Amenihue, and who knows with Brandon Graham. Maybe they were to bring back a guy like Vinnie Curry. Vinnie Curry also did a lot of that a couple years ago where he was playing interior, and he was in a 3-4 before with Chip Kelly. So Vinnie Curry has played around too. Not sure who they're going to bring in as that fourth veteran, because they're going to add an edge rusher.
Absolutely.
Like, they're going to draft an edge rusher. And to me, though, they're going to add one in free agency, too, because you want to add a guy that you can immediately have an impact in the 2019 season, because this Eagles team is still playing for Super Bowls. So we're on the clock here now with the 25th pick in the fifth round. We just went with safety and defensive tackle in the fourth round. So here we were talking about receiver, Gino. Terry McLaurin is still on the board. But because there hasn't been a run on receivers, a Penny Hart still available, a Terry Godwin. Overall, right now, what are we looking at the top of the list? The best players available right now are both receivers, Preston Williams and Terry McLaurin. There's a corner here, but again, I really like the Eagles' depth right now at corner. It's a lot of young depth. Maybe a linebacker here going in the fifth round. Ryan Connolly out of Wisconsin, Kendall Joseph out of Clemson.
I think if McLaurin is there, I think he was a late fourth-round pick guy. I think McLaurin is a guy. He's a guy that you can plug into that system. He would fit. He can get downfield. He can play out of the slot. He's exactly what you need. He had a great showing at the East-West Shrine Game, Senior Bowl, all those All-Star games. He's really a guy that has rose from basically nothing, and he was the guy that didn't get the target share of receptions at Ohio State, and he's going to be a guy that a lot of teams lore over, and if he could have a good showing at the combine, he might rise up those draft boards. So if he's sitting there right now, this is all before testing and everything.
Of course. We're still pre-combine. So
yeah, 100%.
His value could go up. But having a McLaurin as your fourth or fifth receiver, depending on who you add in free agency, because they're going to add a receiver, even if they don't bring back Golden Tate, they're going to bring someone in. And the future of Nelson Aguilar is still up in the air. We'll see what they try to do with that. Right now, they picked up the fifth-year option. He's coming in on $9.5 million in the books in 2019. Maybe they'll try to do an extension with Aguilar, but once again, like, the Eagles love to use 12 personnel, but they still, the majority of the time, ran with 11 personnel. So I think a Terry McLaurin adds great depth to compete with a Mac Hollins and a Shelton Gibson.
I agree. There's also guys like Emmanuel Hall there, but I think McLaurin is just a step above.
And he's a burner.
Them. Yeah.
But I really think the Eagles are going to add a burner in free agency.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
John Brown's my guy, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I really like Brown.
The key guy to address.
All right, let's bring in Terry McLaurin from Ohio State at wide receiver. So, hey, the Eagles add some skill positions here in this draft.
You're
running back in the first round, and McLaurin, you know, you got to. Just keep surrounding. You can never have enough weapons. We saw that. Look, the final four teams in the NFL this year, top four offenses, the Chiefs, the Rams, the Patriots, and the Saints. And what do? They just kept adding talent. And that's what Howie Roseman did too last year. Did they need a wide receiver? Did they need to bring in Golden Tate? No. The game right before they traded for Golden Tate, Jordan Matthews was coming off a game where he had 92 yards against the Jaguars. But they brought him in because, again, you can never have too many weapons for your MVP caliber quarterback.
Yeah, this is one of the positions too that you always see these great quarterbacks have young guys that they can mold into their system. And you look at guys like a Doug Baldwin with Russell Wilson. You look at a Devontae Adams with an Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You look at
Big Ben and Antonio Brown.
Big Ben and Antonio Brown or Mike Wallace or Emmanuel or whatever receiver
Keenan
you want.
Keenan Allen and Phillip Rivers. It just goes down on and on and on.
I think the Eagles need to bring in somebody that Carson can mold to his brand
like
of football that.
That
fits their scheme the way that they want him to. They really haven't done that outside of a Mac Hollins and a Sean Gibson who really haven't worked out. And who knows, Mac Hollins, is he even alive at this point? What is he doing?
Seriously.
Who knows what he's going to bring to the table?
Backpack Mac has just been off the face of the earth in 2018 and 2019.
Yes, I don't think it's a position that they would be unwilling to add more pieces, and especially in a class like this where you're going to find depth at those fifth through seventh round, definitely take a guy with that skill set like a McLaurin.
So now we are in the sixth round, the 24th pick in round six. So we went wide receiver last time. We have a defensive tackle, a safety. We went edge rusher, offensive tackle, and running back. So at this point, again, I feel like we're kind of just doing best player available.
I think
so,
too.
Just keep taking shots here later in the draft. There are some interesting names. I do think eventually Howie Roseman's going to reinvest in the quarterback position. Not trying to find Carson Wentz's replacement, but eventually find maybe Nick Foles' replacement or to be that third guy to be your next development project with Nate Sudfeld, right? They went out and they got Nate Sudfeld off waivers when Washington got rid of him. And Nate Sudfeld now is going to be a high-end backup, and who knows, he's a restricted free agent this year. They could always decide to move him if he has another strong summer. So Howie Roseman, look, when he went away, when Chip Kelly sent him to the other side in the NovaCare complex, he talked to different members of front offices in the NFL in different leagues. I think the biggest takeaway, not only the aggressive mentality that he came away with that and the use of every avenue to add talent, was the prioritization of quarterback, because his first stint, it didn't seem like the Eagles did that with the end of Andy Reid, with Michael Vick, and they took a flyer on Nick Foles in the third round, which, hey, it worked out, but it wasn't something where they were trying to really go all in on finding that next quarterback of the future. And the same thing with Howie Roseman and Chip Kelly, right? They went with Nick Foles, then it was Sam Bradford, although that wasn't Howie's call. But now Howie, I feel like when he came back with a second stint as GM, really now is committed to just continuing to add quarterbacks. I don't know if it's going to be this pick here, Gino, but a guy like Brett Rypien from Boise State is available in round six.
He's been praised highly as
I feel like that would be someone that you get in that quarterback room, continue to add to that QB room. Nothing can go wrong there with that. Even if he flames out, he's a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, you're definitely going to bring in a third quarterback one way or another.
Oh, my boy Bruce Anderson's there.
There's plenty
from North Dakota State,
and this is what you run into. Do you want to invest in the quarterback position, which maybe you get a higher return on your investment a couple years down the road? Does a Nate Sudfeld bring in maybe a fourth or fifth round pick if you can develop him?
Yeah.
A team needs like a Jacoby Brissett type option. Like Andrew Luck goes down, you have a high end backup. I've been saying for the longest time, I have, that the Eagles in 2018 had three of the top 45 best quarterbacks in football. And I truly speak highly of Nate Sudfeld. So does everybody in the organization. They're going to continue to invest. These leagues like the AAF and the XFL, you see how poor quarterback play can be. And if you bring them into high-end coaching and can really get that return on your investment, a guy like Brett Rypien in the sixth round, who scouts have been glamoring over, I don't think they would hesitate to pull the trigger by any
means. Let's do it. Let's go with
Rypien. All right, I'm fine with that.
All right, so we go with a quarterback in the sixth round.
People
again
are going to hate that we picked a quarterback in this draft. I can already tell.
That's fine. It's a sixth round pick. And again, just nothing can go, like, there's only positives with that pick.
I think so too. That's a position that Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman really have started to put stock into. And they should, because we've seen it and we've said it time and time again. After McNabb, they had just a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah, right. It was supposed to be Kevin Cobb. That lasted all but a half against Green Bay.
Yep.
So, yeah, and it just eventually Howie came back and he said, we're going after a quarterback, and that's how the Eagles have Carson Wentz now, and it's how they won a Super Bowl, by bringing in Nick Foles.
Absolutely.
We have our final pick here in round six. Running back, I know we have Josh Jacobs, but and maybe we'll come back in the seventh round. I think a replacement for Darren Sproles as that third running back is really interesting. I know Josh Adams had some flashes in the pan last year in the second half of the season, but a Darwin Thompson out of Utah State, there's a Bryce Love still available. My guy Bruce Anderson out of North Dakota State just went to Washington.
He has some pass-catching ability out of Memphis.
Yeah, and again, adding a running back too, it's not only considering they brought in Josh Jacobs here in our mock draft, but this kind of running back could also be your returner, right, in the kickoff. Yep. It could be in the punt return game, and it could be an option instead of Wendell Smallwood.
Is there that return?
They really do.
They need somebody. So here, you look at wide receivers. Let's just take a peek, just see if there's anybody that can
Penny Hart?
Penny Hart's still there. I don't think he'll be there when it comes the actual draft.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There are definitely guys that can provide you with a little bit of return juice.
So maybe just a little helpful advice for our fans out there. These mock draft simulators, the value sometimes can be off.
Definitely.
So just be careful with when you use these mock draft simulators. We're kind of going based off who we think is going to be available. Don't go all in like, oh my gosh, we could get Josh Jacobs in round three. Right. Like, you're not going to get Josh Jacobs in the third round. Yeah, maybe it's another receiver or a running back here.
Yeah, I think there's still depth at the defensive line and edge positions. You look right now at the edge position, Justin Hollins out of Oregon. He had a good showing at the East-West Shrine Game. He was probably the MVP for the West team. I don't think they're going to take a linebacker. I just truly think they're going to address it in free agency. That's just my mentality. But feel free to pick that pick. But
there's a guy like Khalil Hodge from Buffalo that would be interesting. But again, I'm kind of with you. I don't think it's a position they're going to prioritize at this point.
Yeah, no, I think edge, I just think there's so much depth that you look at that running back class of a couple years ago with the Alvin Kamaras, with the Dalvin Cooks, how much talent fell almost to the UDFA territory. Guy like Corey Clement, exactly. So you look at a guy like Justin Hollins, if you could grab him in the sixth round, a guy who maybe would have been a fourth or fifth round pick in a year that the defensive line was down, he has a little bit of juice on the edge, he isn't the biggest player in the world. He has very long arms. He's got a skinnier frame, but he can get after the quarterback, and he has displayed it at Oregon, a division that is tough to get a lot of defense going. As you can see, outside of teams like Washington and Utah, there's not much defense played in the Pac-12. He was a guy that came in against better competition in that East-West Shrine Game and really put it all on the line and had a good showing.
Yeah,
so and this I think could, in this late, he's a guy that they would be interested in, especially because they're going to have to get younger at the edge position. Mm-hmm. They want guys that can come in for situational downs like a Justin Hollins can if you want to move on from a Chris Long. I think that would give you a better
option. This could be someone that's competing for that fourth spot with Josh Sweat, or it could be someone that's competing with Josh Sweat for the fifth spot.
Yeah, and you know, Jordan Brelford is there as well, who had another good showing at the East-West Shrine
Game. You're an Oregon guy, so I trust your analysis on Justin
Hollins. Not just me. Ben Solak studied at the Draft Network and Bleeding Green Nation. He studied the Pac-12, and he was one of the guys that he said was under the radar for him before the season, and now that late into the season.
Let's go Justin Hollins.
Yeah, let's go. Go Ducks.
All right, go Ducks. Justin Hollins in there. So we get another edge rusher with our sixth-round pick. So
really bulking up the defensive line, and I love
it. Yeah, seriously. Which is good, though. Again, there's never too many edge rushers.
Yeah,
defensive tackles to have on your squad.
Here we are again. I think this is another best player available type territory that we're in, and I think there's options at the offensive tackle position. I think we already took quarterback, running back. There's still options like a Tony Pollard, a Wes Hill, who is a little under the radar.
He was three six-round picks.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of late-round picks that I think they're going to use to trade up in those earlier rounds, especially since they don't have a third. Guy like Penny Hart still there, who we definitely think would stay.
I don't even want to take him. Just let's pretend like he's just not available.
I think a guy like a Jamal Custis would definitely be there in the seventh round. He also had a good showing. He didn't have the biggest numbers at Syracuse, but he's a bigger body guy. He really could provide a role. I think they're trying to phase out a guy like Shelton Gibson, and who knows with Matt Collins. So I could see them bringing in two wide receivers in this draft class.
All right, let's go with Jamal Custis.
All righty.
We'll take another receiver here to wrap up the sixth round.
We got one more pick in the seventh.
One more pick.
I like this pick so far. I like this class. And we'll have you guys rate what you think. We did one before the show.
Yeah, we'll post both.
Yeah, we'll see what you guys
thought. Because I really like that one, too.
That was a good one.
We were testing out the simulator and make sure this wasn't going to be nonsense where we get a lot of first-round value in the fourth round.
And this is a fan-speak NFL draft if anybody would like to check it out.
They also have an off-season simulator, which is pretty cool. We're going to have another episode where we're going to simulate the entire off-season, which is going to be fun. So we're wrapping up here the final round of this Locked On the Mock Draft, episode 2 on the Locked On
Just think
Eagles
back
podcast.
At these later rounds of the Eagles, they've really had some talent coming. They have. You look a couple years back, that Bo Allen pick, he was a 7th round pick, and he was
big
a
in
solid
the rotation in 2017.
Tackle.
Yeah.
That was a good defensive tackle class.
And who knows, a guy like that might be a cap casualty from Tampa Bay.
Finney Curry is still there. There's plenty
of
guys.
We didn't go defensive tackle until round 4, right? So maybe Allen could come in as that. Maybe Tim Jernigan is a cap casualty, or if not, you could still bring in a 4th-round pick and a Bo Allen. Again, there's never too many options on the defensive line. So
that's it, actually. Yep.
So the Eagles don't have a 7th-round pick.
I forgot about that. I think
but we have
that
three,
was one
six.
Of the conditional ones they traded.
That's
sorry
right.
if we're not 100%. But,
that's all right.
Yeah.
So here is the recap of our mock draft on Locked On the Mock Episode 2. First round at pick 25, we go Josh Jacobs out of Alabama.
Beautiful.
And that pick right – oh, man. I think people would be really excited about that one. I don't know if he's going to fall to 25. If he gets by Tampa Bay and Baltimore, I think the Eagles have a good shot if they want him. In the second round at pick 21 – offensive tackle Titus Howard out of Alabama State.
Be that replacement.
Need that replacement for Jason Peters eventually. Could be Howard, could be Jordan Mailata, but adding another option can't hurt. Our other second round pick, edge rusher Charles Amenihue out of Texas, can play edge rusher and, like you said, Gino, defensive tackle. Then in the 4th round, Jaquan Johnson, a safety out of Miami. Other 4th round pick, Daylon Mack, a defensive tackle out of Texas A&M. Our 5th round pick, Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State, the standout at the Senior Bowl in Mobile this year. And then in the 6th round, the Eagles have 3 picks. We went with another quarterback to develop in Brett Rypien, edge rusher Justin Hollins out of Oregon, and then we wrap up with another receiver, Jamal Custis, to help push Shelton Gibson and Mack Hollins and compete for maybe that 5th or 6th final wide receiver spot. Let's take a final break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, Locked On the Mock Episode 2. When we come back, we'll take a look now at the experts, what they are having.
Quote-unquote
Well,
experts.
Yeah, quote-unquote experts. But we'll go around some different networks, see what some other analysts have the Eagles taking in the 1st round. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On the Mock, Episode 2 on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So we hope you enjoyed that mock draft. Me and Gino, we're going to do that every week, and we're hopefully going to get a big 4-man mock draft with our other Locked On Eagles contributors and Tyler Steggy and Lars Lewis. So
absolutely,
that should be a fun podcast. We might actually even do a video edition of that one. So some exciting stuff coming up on the network. So let's now, Gino, let's go around the mock. Let's go around some other analysts that had the opportunity to pick for the Eagles in a mock draft at pick 25. NFL.com across the board, Gino, went with Dexter Lawrence at Clemson, outside of Daniel Jeremiah, who went with another Clemson defensive lineman in Christian Wilkins, who's a better pass rusher than Lawrence. I really don't like the idea of Dexter Lawrence, like we were talking about. I just don't want a nose tackle.
I hate the idea of Dexter Lawrence. They don't need that.
And if a Clemson guy's going to fall, I wish it would be Cleveland Farrell. He's not going to be there at 25.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Kemsky put it best for what this team values at the defensive tackle position, and he said they want fastballs, I think it was translated that. And fastballs are guys that can get upfield after the quarterback.
Yep.
And I just truly don't think Dexter Lawrence provides you minimal to zero pass rush ability when there's going to be guys like I would take his counterpart in Christian Wilkins over him any day
absolutely
of the week, or Cleveland Farrell falls to you. I would take any of the
Farrell
defensive linemen at Clemson besides Dexter Lawrence.
Right, I'm with
he just
you
does not fit this team the way people are making it out to be.
Let's go to our friends at the Draft Network. You can check out their podcast, The Draft Dudes, on the Locked On Podcast Network. Some great stuff over there. Trevor Sikkema had Mississippi State defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons after the ACL injury. Look, I think the Eagles might try to maybe pull a Sidney Jones 2.0 type move and maybe take Simmons if he fell in the 2nd round. But I think at pick 25, with the depth at defensive line, I don't think you go with an injured player.
Yeah,
I know
no
he was going to be a really exciting prospect for the Eagles maybe at 25, but with the injury, there's just too many options to go with that risk.
Yeah, they definitely haven't updated their mock drafts, of course, but he's a guy, like we said, you've seen it, the Sidney Jones, you've seen the Jalon Smiths. Somebody's going to pick him in the 2nd round.
Yeah, Jalon Smith worked out. Like, if you're concerned about Sidney Jones not panning out, though, it has worked with Dallas taking Jalon Smith.
In what year? The third year. This is the year for Sidney Jones.
That's the year for Sidney.
The third year was the year for Jalon Smith. I think a guy like in the defensive tackle position, would be a little bit easier. The linebacker, you have to move around a lot more. Cornerback, I can't even imagine what Sidney Jones is going through with those soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
But a guy in the defensive line, once he's back healthy, put that brace on him, let him get after the quarterback. I think that's a guy that
depending on what's available, he might still be an option. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I highly doubt it. But
yeah, me too.
Especially with the off-field concerns. I think it's a guy they look at later down the road, but I think there's plenty more options at 25 that they can get to.
Joe Marino, also host of the Locked On Bills podcast, came out with a recent mock draft. Nazir Adderley, safety out of Delaware, so yes, he got your boy coming to Philadelphia. Kyle Krabs had them going with Jeffrey Simmons as well, so some of the older mock drafts really like the idea of pairing Simmons with another Mississippi State defensive tackle in Fletcher Cox. Ben Solak, Clemson defensive tackle Christian Wilkins, who again has much better pass rush ability than Dexter Lawrence. So
yeah,
I do like that.
He is as a player. I don't think he has a high ceiling where you could develop him as much.
But he'd be a good rotation piece.
He's played in big games. He's played against the best competition. He provides you some pass rush juice. I think he's a safe pick. He's one of those guys like a Quentin Nelson. Like, you know what their ceiling is, but their floor, it's not going to be as much as a lot of those other guys at that 25th pick.
And then we wrap up the Draft Network's mock drafts with John Ledyard also going with Nazir Adderley, safety out of Delaware. So, Gino, some good stuff from your boy there. So make sure you check out the Draft Dudes podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. CBS Sports, Chris Trapasso, defensive tackle out of Notre Dame, Jerry Tillery. And I was watching some of his tape after seeing the mock.
Juice,
he's got some pass rush ability. Yeah. He lined up a lot on the edge, too. So if you brought in our mock draft, we had Charles Amenihue, if they could get a Jerry Tillery as well. I love versatile defensive linemen. I think Tillery and like an Amenihue with your first two picks, I mean, sign me up. I don't know what they're going to do with the defensive line. But again, like we've been saying on our mock drafts, there just should be no concern. There's just so many options
in both avenues
of free agency, even trading, and the draft.
With this team and how they play and how Jim Schwartz coordinates his defense, they have one thing in mind when they're drafting defensive linemen. Can they get upfield to the quarterback? Because he rushes four more than any defensive coordinator in the NFL. You can't plug a guy like Dexter Lawrence in
there. That's a good point, too, because you can't have a nose tackle in a 4-3 where you only rush four.
We saw it with Benny Logan.
Like, what space is Dexter Lawrence opening up for? There's no linebacker that's coming in
blitzing.
So,
yeah,
like, you're trying to clog up all the space for no one to go after it.
It doesn't make any sense. You saw it with Benny Logan and why they moved on from him. And who else did they have? Why can't I think of his name? It was Clax, Logan, and why can't I think of him? He went to Dallas. He went to the Bills.
Oh, Cedric Thornton.
Cedric Thornton, yeah. Another guy that doesn't have too much pass rush juice. Those guys that play the more two-gap scheme,
right,
the more nose-tackle scheme.
It could have worked out better.
The more zero and one techs. You want three techs in this defense. Mm-hmm. You want guys that can rush from the outside. He plays a more wider scheme. You're not going to plug a Dexter Lawrence in there. You're going to go for guys like Jerry Tillery's that could get after the quarterback, a Jeffrey Simmons who could get after the quarterback, a guy like in the second round, a Draymond Jones, a Gerald Willis. There's so many options at that defensive line, defensive tackle, and edge position that can get after the quarterback. And who knows, if one of the top end guys fall, if there's a guy there at like 18 to 20 that you want to take a shot on and you want to trade up for, who knows, it could happen. There's so much talent there that I wouldn't see it out of the ordinary for them to take a shot there.
Our final mock draft around the mock, Sporting News had the Eagles going
wild, surprisingly,
with David Montgomery at pick 25. Wild. I really like the player. We actually had him in our mock draft we did before the show, and again, we're going to post that on our Twitter account, at LockedOnBirds, at DBSCLOE, and at Gino_LOE, and we'll post that on LockedOnEagles.com as well with this current mock draft. Montgomery is an interesting player. He's shifty. I love his ability to cut. He is a good receiver, but he doesn't have that crazy breakaway speed. I think there's things in his game where it'll prohibit him from being a first-round prospect. I think he is someone more so you can get in the second round if you didn't go with Josh Jacobs. Like, let's say we took Nazir Adderley with that first-round pick. That second-round pick, I would love David Montgomery there. I think at pick 25, if you're planning on doing that, you might as well just move back.
I definitely agree. I think if I were, I am a gambling man, I would say if I had to bet right now at this current point in time, before the combine, before any of the testing comes out, they're going to either pick Nazir Adderley or they're going to pick the best available defensive lineman that could get after the quarterback. That's what I would say.
We went with a running back.
But I think it's clear
that it's either going to be a defensive lineman or if one of their guys they really like at safety or running back are there. Like, yeah. if Jacobs or Adderley are there, those aren't as big of needs as edge rusher, and I don't think they're even as important. But to a guy of the talent of Nazir Adderley or a Josh Jacobs, like, if those guys are there with the depth of the defensive line, you can make adjustments like we did in this mock draft, and I'm happy with our result.
I agree. Yeah, and that's the thing. Don't be discouraged if they don't pick somebody you like, because I say it time and time again. This front office has impressed me, and until they do things that prove me wrong, I'm going to put all trust in them. Yep. I love how Joe Douglas assesses players. I love how he's translated that message
When is he getting a GM job?
Probably next year, I would say.
I've been fearing it for the past couple of years. I mean, it's kind of cool, though. Like, let's just keep milking as many off seasons with Joe Douglas, as many draft classes as we can get, because like you said, since he's come in here, they have just added so much talent.
Absolutely, and that's another thing that like steers me away from that Jacobs pick, is because his track record has been fourth round and beyond.
That's true, but I feel like if McCaffrey was there in 2017,
they definitely would have taken him.
So they're not totally like against taking a running back high. And also, if Minnesota didn't move up in the second round of that class, they probably would have had Dalvin Cook. So, but I'm with you. Like they're lackadaisical a lot with running back. Like they did trade for Ajayi, but then like last year they didn't try to improve it at all. They just went with Josh Adams, and look, they still almost made it to the NFC Championship game. But you know, so it's kind of interesting to see what's going to
change all this too. Once we figure out,
Because if they had a Tevin Coleman, or
you're not going to draft,
not going to draft a running back until maybe the second round still, but maybe not till your fourth round pick. You bring in a guy like a Bruce Anderson to go with a Tevin Coleman. So I can't wait. There's so many scenarios. I'm just so excited.
Sure, what we did today, once we do it after free agency,
it'll be
probably
different.
Look completely different. 100%. But it's good to see how it evolves.
Yeah,
what they value in the draft. So if they don't address defensive line at all, you know that they love the draft.
That's true.
Like what they said, if they address running back, they probably don't love anybody past Jacobs. They probably think Jacobs gets picked ahead of where they're drafting. We're getting towards free agency. We're almost there. It's the best time of the year. It's Howie season. We're in full swing. I love it.
All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked on the Mock, episode number 2, right here on the Locked on Eagles podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. Please check out all our past shows. We interviewed Utah State running back Darwin Thompson on Friday's edition.
That's an exclusive, folks.
That's an exclusive. So check that out, LockedOnEagles.com. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you are subscribed to Locked on Eagles. Go check that out, and we appreciate the reviews, the comments, the fan feedback on Twitter from me and Gino. And make sure you follow all our accounts, at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Louis DiBiase, signing off. As always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.